senior officers. She said those trying to topple her government must be defeated.
This nation must never again be allowed to fall into the hands of tyrants. God is with us, and we shall prevail.
This is Bob Zelnick at the Pentagon. According to U.S. intelligence reports, most of the Philippine rebels are from the Marine Corps, and most of the fighting is centered around Manila's Villamor Air Base. Intelligence reports indicate that fighting also may be underway at Fort Bonifacio near Manila, as well as Mactan in the southern province of Cebu. The government of President Aquino has assured the U.S. Embassy that the rebellion is under control, but many embassy officials are not quite as confident. Bob Zelnick, ABC News at the Pentagon.
More news after this.
You want to start small, but think tall. That's your plan with computers that can grow along with you.
How are you going to do it?
Well, you're going to PS to it.
With the IBM PS2.
If you'd like a computer you can start with and stay with, do work at home and do homework with, run a business and play games with, welcome to your IBM dealer's free-for-all, where you can get an IBM PS2 computer for less and over $500 worth of software for your home or office free. And feel free to ask about the instant credit with no payments until February. The offer ends January 15th. So if you like a good free-for-all, see your nearest IBM authorized dealer soon.
Easy! You're gonna PS to it!
The solution is IBM. The solution is IBM.
The White House has announced that Panamanian ships will not be permitted into U.S. ports after January 31st. The objective, to put the squeeze on General Manuel Noriega. It means Noriega's government will lose tens of millions of dollars. Some very happy and relieved folks on board a jet which is due to land in Washington, Andrews Air Force Base, any time now. Those people are U.S. diplomatic dependents who were flown out of El Salvador. Some had been trapped by fighting between leftist guerrillas and Salvadoran government troops. His bags are packed. President Bush ready to leave for Malta in his summit with Soviet leader Gorbachev. He'll depart Washington in about an hour and a half. Mr. Bush went out into the Rose Garden to talk about his expectations.
This meeting represents a point of departure, the beginning of a process as full of promise as any that we've known.
The president said he hoped his talks with Mr. Gorbachev will mark an important milestone toward molding a Europe that is whole and free. In Rome, President Gorbachev said the curtain of mistrust between East and West is crumbling. Of course, the weekend summit is going to be held on two ships, the USS Belknap and the Soviet vessel called the Slava. The American sailors on board the Belknap are getting ready.
One, two.
That's a Navy honor guard practicing for the arrival of President Bush. They're also getting ready to meet their Russian counterparts, the other sailors. This is the Belknap skipper, Captain John Siegler.
This is a great opportunity for me and for my crew to really get to know the Soviet officers and sailors and learn a little bit about them.
The Belknap anchored a few hundred yards behind the Soviet ship. A Navy Skyhawk jet reported to have gone down while approaching Miramar Air Station near San Diego. The pilot bailed out. There usually aren't any tropical storms in the Caribbean this time of year, but there's one down there now. Tropical Storm Karen, bringing a lot of rain to Cuba. Top winds about 50 miles an hour. Look who's played Santa's helper in Lafayette, Louisiana. George Burns gave a charity performance for the kids at a children's shelter. He threw a switch lighting up a giant Christmas tree. George Burns said it was nice to be there, adding that it's nice to be anywhere at age 93. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials, pretty good day, closing up 17.5 points, finishing at 2706.27. This is ABC News.
Hi, folks. This is your old weather friend, Willard Scott, wishing you a happy holiday. The holidays are a time for throwing parties and swapping presents with family and friends. So stop by a True Value Hardware store for great gifts like the Presto Salad Shooter for just $28.88. It's the quick, easy way to shred salad fixings right into the bowl. Or give a favorite chef the Rival 5-Quart Crock Pot. It slow cooks food to tender perfection, and it's only $24.99 at participating True Value Hardware stores and home centers.
For the ABC Information Network, I'm Doug Limerick.
The clock is running. You've only got a limited number of shopping hours left. That's why JCPenney decided to give you three more with their 12-hour sale this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Your favorite place to Christmas shop will be offering a store full of savings for the whole family, starting with 3 hours of doorbuster specials and ending with 3 hours of Red Tag specials. That's right. Save an additional 30% off all Red Tag merchandise from 6 to 9 p.m. Look for the insert in Friday's paper. It's a 12-hour sale this Saturday at JCPenney downtown.
SCOM presents another Alaska myth. Shattered. The good old dog sled. Alaskan transportation. But myth has it that it's the only way we can get around up here.
What's the trouble, officer? I'm not even out on the street yet.
Look at the sign, buddy.
Huh?
You're in a no barking zone.
There's no end to the preposterous myths about life here in Alaska. Like the one about Alaskan's high cost. The truth is, with our high quality and total service, you can have it all every time you call. Inexpensively. With Alaskan, the one
today at Laurel Racecourse in Laurel, Maryland, DeSormo broke Chris McCarron's record for most victories in a year, which was 546. He rode home two winners today. He tied the record in the fourth race aboard Lucked In, then won his 547th race of 1989 in the fifth race, guiding home a two-year-old filly, Gilton, to a three-quarter length victory. Milo Perrins has the stretch call.
Kent DeSormo is hard at work and headed for that world record on Gilton. Gilton has the lead, now beginning to draw away in the final stride. And DeSormo's quest for the world record is over. Here's the Cajun Kid. This is only a beginning. Look out, world. Here's Kent DeSormo with a world record number 547.
Was DeSormo excited to finally break McCarron's record set back in 1974, or was he relieved the whole affair had finally ended?
I think it's a lot of relief. But we're as excited as you can be, I tell you.
The 19-year-old DeSormo has now won more than $8 million in purses this year to rank eighth in overall earnings. Chris McCarron needed 2,199 mounts to set his record. DeSormo, 2,128. And today, the young man's dreams finally came true.
I hoped and dreamed a lot of things, and pretty much all of them have come true. And I just hope that everyone who has a dream just tries to fulfill it, because it's out there. All you got to do is go after it.
Speaking of dreams, the Heisman Trophy to be handed out Saturday. The favorites include Houston quarterback Andre Ware, Indiana running back Anthony Thompson, West Virginia's quarterback Major Harris, Notre Dame signal caller Tony Rice. Harris admits it's anybody's guess who wins it Saturday.
If they want a running back, then they can give it to a running back. If they want a quarterback that can run and throw, they give it to, you know, me. If they want a guy to just throw, they give it to Andre Ware. I mean, it all depends on what the voters want.
Yesterday, the Dallas Mavericks fired their coach John McLeod, who admitted he had no control of certain circumstances that took place among his players.
I can't control what happened to Roy Tarpley. I can't control what happened to James Donaldson and his injury. And there are a lot of other things that I can't control. But the people here, Don and Rick and Norm, feel that change has to be made, and I guess I'm the guy that goes.
The New York Yankees came to terms with free agent outfielder Mel Hall today in a three-year contract. Financial details of the pack were not disclosed, but Hall will reportedly get about $3.3 million over 3 years. For the ABC Information Network, I'm Johnny Holliday.
Alaska Feed Company is having their grand opening this Saturday in their new location at 516 Illinois Avenue. Come on over between the hours of 9 to 6 and enjoy the celebration. Meet Rick Swenson, champion dog musher, Lee Rissy of Rissy's Greenhouses, Karen Piper, dog obedience trainer, and Ron from Tiz Wiz Horse Feed Company. Don't miss it. Alaska Feed Company's grand opening of their new location at 516 Illinois Avenue. Check Friday's Newsminer for times and details. That's this Saturday.
Folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna, from the University of Alaska Mining Extension. This is your radio show on Alaska. It's mining and its pioneers, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, the history of Alaska's misty past, its controversial present, and of course, its mysterious future. As you know, we will have special guests to discuss different frontier and mining-related topics. But most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment. Or maybe you just want to chat for a few minutes, or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. Should we do a contest? Let's do a contest. I want to know who is featured in the Alaska Gold Trail section in the fall edition of Alaskan Prospectors and Miners News. Who is featured in that article? Alaskan Prospectors and Miners News, who was the person featured in the Alaskan Gold Trails article? The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And already we have people wanting to answer that question. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Are you ready with an answer for our question?
Of course.
Well, what would the answer be?
Mack Fenton.
That was in the fall edition?
The last one I have here.
No, that's the last one you have. You know, that's not the... Take a look on the front of that.
Yeah?
Does that say fall?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't say anything.
It doesn't say anything?
It says 1989.
I think that was the spring edition.
Oh.
Yeah? Well, but I'll tell you what you do. You drop over to Alaskan Prospectors tomorrow at about, 12 o'clock's a nice time, isn't it?
Sure.
Yeah, and I'll buy you lunch.
Good.
Is that good?
Sure.
How's that for a deal?
You're on.
Okay, and maybe I'll flip for it, and you can buy me lunch.
Well, I'll drink to that, too.
Yeah? Okay, you don't even have to come up here for a certificate. How's that?
Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, was it Yosemite Sam?
Hello?
Yeah, was it Yosemite Sam?
No, not quite, my friend.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Bye.
You know, we just lost that last caller. I hope they'll ring back and give us the answer. I'm really sorry that I mispunched a button here, but that happens when you have 4,000 buttons to punch. I'm not excusing myself. I'm just clumsy today. So, with that in mind, and while you're all looking up the fall edition of Alaskan Prospectors and Miners News to identify the person who was interviewed in that particular article, we were going to do an announcement, but right now we'll just talk to this person here. How are you? You're on the air.
Yes. Was it Steve Agbaba?
Not quite, my friend. Close, but no cigar.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alaska Feed Company is having their grand opening this Saturday in their new location at 516 Illinois Avenue. Come on over between the hours of 9 to 6 and enjoy the celebration. There'll be free pizza from 2 to 3, free popcorn and soft drinks all day. Dan Woods of Twin Springs Water will be providing free spring water after 12. Learn about dog sleds and equipment from Lloyd Lowry and meet Steve Hemschrott, Land Resources Agent. It's the grand opening of Alaska Feed Company in their new location. Check Friday's News Miner for times and details.
Once again, the question to win a 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining is, who was represented in the fall edition of Alaskan Prospectors and Miners News? And we'll just try this line right here. Hi, you're on the air.
Don Cook.
Absolutely. Well, you know what you did?
What?
You just won a silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining. Do you know where they're located?
Sure.
Well, you got to pop up here at Washington Plaza, grab your certificate, you know that. Then you go over to Oxford Assaying and Refining. They'll give you a silver ingot. And where are they located, by the way?
Oh, they're down on Wendell.
On Wendell, 208 Wendell.
Yeah.
You know, something else you need to know about Oxford Assaying and Refining, of course, is they are your precious metals people. And now that Christmas is getting very close, you might want to keep in mind that they have all kinds of goodies over there for Christmas giving. And I think you'll agree that those silver ingots make dandy gifts. And this one is probably going to go to your wife, isn't it?
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, I would think so. At any rate, they have not only silver ingots, but they have gold coins, gold ingots, and, of course, gold nuggets, which they provide with chains in some cases. So if you're in need of a gift for that someone special, stop over to Oxford Assaying and Refining, and keep in mind that precious metals are just the greatest gift that you could possibly give. They're located at 208 Wendell Street, and of course, their phone number is 456-3967. And they also have a quote line, which is 452-7858, where you can get the daily quotes on gold, silver, and platinum. So you don't want to forget that in case you're trying to keep up with the metals market.
Once you're buying or selling.
That's if you're buying or selling, yes, sir. And, once again, their number is 456-3967. And do you want to give the whole listening audience your name so that we can know who won the silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining today?
You want the whole name or just the short one?
Give me a short one.
Just Bill.
Just Bill.
Just plain Bill.
Just plain Bill.
Right.
And you won a 1 troy ounce silver ingot.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Bill.
Bye.
Bye. Today here on Alaska Gold Trails, my guest is Paul McCarthy. Welcome to Alaska Gold Trails, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Paul, we know that you're affiliated with the University of Alaska, the library, and before we talk about what you do there at the library, could you give us a little background of where you came from, who you are, where you are, and what you have done through your life in a capsule form?
Sure. Sure, Jim. I'm currently the director of libraries at the university and came here in 1964 from Syracuse, New York. I was married and Lucy and I had two small kids at the time, and I was working full-time at Syracuse University and going to school full-time. And I had a friend who moved up here, Ted Ryberg, who was the director of libraries, and he asked me if I'd ever be interested in coming to Alaska, and I said, sure, you know, not thinking too much, but having read about Alaska as a teenager and growing up and just really entranced by it. And so he made an offer about a year later in 64, and we grabbed our two kids and ourselves and about 300 pounds of gear total and came to Alaska. And, you know, we flew in Pan Am's 707 at the time, and we looked at all the mountains and the snow and got to Fairbanks, and there was a small airport and a dirt parking lot. We thought, we have come to the end of the world. And,
Paul, what time of year was that again?
It was in the summer. We came in the summer, but there was still a lot of, you know, ice and snow in the mountains on the way up. And we got here and we had a place to stay and picked our gear up off a wooden table on the outside of the airport and drove into town. And, you know, it was summer and it was just a stunning difference between that and upstate New York in terms of that there were a lot of people doing tasks and chores as we do now up till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. And it was just a real difference.
You had quite a shock, a cultural and social shock, I would imagine, in terms of climate and people and activities.
Really, we did. And I think, you know, when I reflect back of the changes, you know, we didn't call home very often because it was $9 for the first 3 minutes. And we were pretty poor at the time and relatively cut off, but some great people. I guess one of the things I've really reflected on, Jim, as you and I have talked about it, is the great people that we've met here over the years and the good experiences we've had. And we raised two kids and brought two more up here in the state, and I've really enjoyed that experience and enjoyed the experience working at the university, too.
Now, when you came up in 1964, Paul, did you go directly to work for the university?
Right. I was an assistant reader services librarian in the library, and Ted Ryberg and I had talked about developing a special collections emphasis to the library. I had worked at Syracuse University in the archives there, and they had a very aggressive program on developing resources on railroads and different economic areas, art, writing, so that the students and faculty of the university could use those to do research. And mm-hmm. so that was kind of Ted's dream, and Dr. Howard Cutler at the same time shared that dream. And so they created a position the next year, and I took that position and began developing the archives and manuscript collections.
Mm-hmm. What a lot of people are interested in, Paul, is the archives and some of the facilities and materials that you have available there at the University of Alaska Library and how they might be able to use it. And I want to get back not only to that, Paul, but I want to get back in just a minute. I want to get back to some of the things that you've done in your life here in terms of collecting that archival material. So we'll be right back after a couple of quick announcements, first of which, of course, deals with one of the sponsors. And you know out there that the sponsors are people who support this program because they think that this is a valuable contribution to the people of Interior Alaska. And I want to, at this point, say hello to all my friends out at Chicken and out at Central and Live and Good that are listening. And I know that from letters that we've received here that you are listening and that you enjoy the show and the guests that have appeared upon it. Right now, I want to tell you about one of the sponsors, and of course, this particular sponsor has been with me ever since the first day that I started Alaska Gold Trails almost 3 years ago, and that's Gabe's Truck and Auto. And they like to point out that whether it's an auto or a light truck or a motorhome or even a big rig for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And you know, something interesting about that is that a few years ago, Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto the Raven About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Also, Gabe's has two large shops. Actually, they got three shops now and eight mechanics on hand to serve you. And you know, with that much attention, folks, you'll get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair mount and balance tires. One thing that you have to keep in mind is that Gabe's Truck and Auto developed the no-pass, no-pay policy on IM inspection. That's right, folks. If you don't pass, if your vehicle doesn't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's Truck and Auto. And don't forget, during the snowy, icy weather, that Gabe's Truck and Auto has a towing service that can't be beat. They have three wreckers available 24 hours a day, and they can handle any size rig. And getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. That's 456-6156. You might want to write that number down. Put it in your glove compartment in case you have an emergency. You can call up Gabe's, and they can take care of your needs. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road, near Metro Field, or give them a call at 456-6156.
Alaskom presents another Alaska myth, Shattered. The myth that will not die. If you live in Alaska, you'll live in an igloo.
Say, Fred, you got any more ice?
Oh, there's a cooler in the front entryway.
It's empty.
Oh, well, here's an ice pick. Just use the front entryway.
There's another Alaska myth, the one about total long-distance service being high in price. You see, with Alaskom, you can have it all every time you call, inexpensively. Alaskom, the one you call on.
Save 20 to 50% on Gerald Victor's latest fur collection on sale now for the holidays. Don't wait. Lay away now for Christmas. Featuring designer garments such as Oscar de la Renta, Chloe, Mary McFadden, and Lanvin. Box jackets as low as $395. Mink jackets as low as $895. Raccoon, coyote, and so much more. Yes, it's dash, dazzle, and nonstop delight this holiday season at Gerald Victor Furs. Gerald Victor, master furrier for four generations. The choice is obvious. Third and Lacey or the Altria at Bentley Mall. Now open Sundays noon to 4.
The clock is running. You've only got a limited number of shopping hours left. That's why JCPenney decided to give you three more with their 12-hour sale this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Your favorite place to Christmas shop will be offering a store full of savings for the whole family, starting with 3 hours of doorbuster specials and ending with 3 hours of Red Tag specials. That's right. Save an additional 30% off all Red Tag merchandise from 6 to 9 p.m. Look for the insert in Friday's paper. It's a 12-hour sale this Saturday at JCPenney downtown.
Once again, folks, we're here with Paul McCarthy, and if you'd like have a question for Paul, give us a call. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Paul, tell us a little bit about what you some of the activities you have there at the library and that things that you've developed and worked on specifically.
Well, part of what we attempted to do when we started the program in 65 was to look at Alaska and try to develop resources, whether they were diaries or photograph collections, corporate records, the things that would document Alaska's history and development. And, you know, one of the first people I ran into was Ivor Scarland, who kind of set a tone for his enthusiasm and interest in Alaska. And it's been kind of almost nonstop, really neat people all the way along. What we try to do is then contact a variety of people, whether they were Native individuals like William Paul, some political figures like Greening and Bartlett, miners, and mining operations. And I know one of the collections we got earlier was the Tenaw Valley Gold Dredging Company in terms of looking at gold dredging opportunities and operations in the Tenaw Valley. Ted Ryberg and I went down to Juneau at one time, and it was about 50 below zero, 60 below zero, and to rescue some mining records of a store down at the Alaska Juneau Mining Company that were going to be disposed of. And at that time, we blew an engine up in Three Guardsmen's Pass, and it was about 60 below zero. It had taken us 5 hours to start the truck. It was an old university vehicle. You might have some experience with that, Jim. And
It didn't have any internal heater, so we stopped every 40 miles to thaw out. But we finally got down to Juneau after a couple days and were able to retrieve the records and bring them back. But
so these are available today in the archives?
That one we transferred back to Juneau when they became interested, but we did like work with the people at Kennecott and retrieved a number of records there before they were lost. So
you got a call here, Paul.
Sure.
Welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. You're on the air.
Paul, work it in wherever you can, but don't forget to tell us about your canoe trip with Rybert down the Yukon. Okay.
Thank you. Paul, I think you also made a trip over to Porcupine Creek. Is that right, or was it off the Yukon, one of the streams off the...
We went down the Yukon with Charlie, down to the Charlie, but we stopped at all the rivers and all the places between Eagle and Circle.
Mm-hmm.
We just recently, about 3 years ago, returned to Coal Creek to retrieve some records. But on the trip that the caller just referred to was a trip suggested to us in, I think it was 1966 or 67, of going down and trying to survey the historical sites along the Yukon and to retrieve any records that were abandoned and to document that part of Alaska's history. So Ted and I took off, and we had to drive through the Chicken Forest Fire. At that time, I think it was about 500,000 square acres, and were delayed. And
what year was that?
Either 67 or 66. And then we spent a week on the Yukon, and Ted and I had envisioned that we would get from Eagle down to Tanana in about a week and a half to 2 weeks, and recognized early on that we were going to get nowhere near that distance because we'd stop and we'd really look at sites which would now be historical sites or cabin sites or mining sites and just get an idea of what was going on in the river.
And was there anything like, I know the caller had something to say about your trip down the Yukon. Was there any adventure that was particularly dangerous that occurred along that trip, or was it just you didn't run into any problems?
We didn't run into, and on that trip we've had plenty of others where there's been a little bit of adventure,
uh-huh,
unplanned adventure, but not on that one.
I think the word I was looking for was adrenaline.
Well, there were a couple of ones where we had a little bit of adrenaline flow. We were flying into Kodiak, or flying out of Kodiak, and we had gone in there on the state ferry, and this was, I think, late 60s, early 70s, and there had been a storm that had been about 100, 120 miles an hour and taken off cannery roofs and this, and we flew out to a small village and then flew back, and the fog was so bad and the wind was so bad, the plane was actually fairly close to the water. We could see the wake of the engines in the water, and a couple of things like that that, if, you know, when I look back on what we did in collecting archives, probably has not occurred in very, very many places in the United States, and much more urban metropolitan activities than here.
Let's see. There was a couple of other places that you traveled to, Paul, in terms of collecting archival materials.
We went into Kennecott. There was a project funded, and the project leader was Mike Sullivan. He was in Anchorage, and now he's in Washington State. He was really trying to preserve the mine there. And so he had gotten some funding, I think it was from Kennecott, and we went in and surveyed the mining operation records that were left in the store, and there were several hundred cubic feet, as I remember, and we decided we couldn't retrieve them all, but we did retrieve about 40 or 50 cubic feet of records and sampled the records that were there, and then grabbed some of the early health records of miners, and then went through, had a really thorough tour of the mine, and it's a really magnificent structure and magnificent mining operation. So we brought those back in what I guess would be a flying boxcar, and it was, we looked like, we had a picture taken, we looked like the last three veterans leaving Vietnam, and we looked haggard, and we took off, and it was one of those things where the plane was leased to fly back to Fairbanks, so we actually landed in Gakona, where we left the university van and just loaded the van and all the records right into the plane and flew home. It's traveling in style, which we've never been accustomed to.
Only in Alaska.
Really, really.
Let's listen to this just for a minute. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Yes, what kind of records is your guest trying to salvage?
Well,
we're really interested in a variety of business records. If we
mining,
maybe? Mining. Well, we have a whole variety. We have different kinds, but we certainly would like to get some quality mining records that would show operations we've worked with, like Earl Beislein out of some of the creeks in terms of mining operations. Anything that would give an overview of what it meant to be a miner, the difficulties, operations, costs, those kinds of things.
I was in the Kennecott years ago, and I took what records I could read out of the hospital. That's why I was asking.
Oh, that would be interesting, because there are some people who are doing...
Death.
Mm-hmm.
People that had died there and whatnot.
Those would be very interesting to us, really.
Do you have a phone number?
Sure. 474-7224 is my number, or you can call David Hales or Gretchen Lake at 474-7261. That's the archives.
7261?
Right.
Thank you much.
Mm-hmm. You're entirely welcome.
Say, thanks much for the call, sir. Okay, we'll be back with you in just a few minutes. Paul, let me run through a few little notices here and some things that the people out there will want to know about. And one of those is Macaulay's Reprographics, who are located right here in Fairbanks, Alaska at 721 Gaffney Road. They're here to help you with all your technical drafting needs, including templates, professional drafting pens and pencils, and a full line of architectural supplies. Also, they provide professional blueprinting and copying service. And for those interested in prospecting in Canada, they have Canadian maps. On top of all that, folks, they rent, service, and sell the major lines of surveying equipment and supplies. And here is something all the prospectors should know about, and I've talked about this many, many times. Macaulay's has a complete line of professional compasses and hip chains for plotting accurate directions and distances along new claim boundaries. That's Macaulay's Reprographics, located at 721 Gaffney. Give them a call at 452-8141 and tell Becky and Alfred over there you heard Jim Madonna talking about them right here on Alaska Gold Trails.
Thanksgiving is over, and you're finally finishing off the last of the turkey. And not a minute too soon. Even the dog was beginning to growl when you opened the refrigerator and reached for that worn-out bird. Your neighborhood Safeway has just the thing for those turkey blahs. Something you can really sink your teeth into. Because at Safeway, you'll find beef T-bone, porterhouse, or rib steaks, specially priced in the family pack for just $2.99 a pound. Try pan-frying the steaks with a little butter, and finish it off with plenty of mushrooms from our produce section, sautéed in Marsala wine. It's just what your taste buds have been waiting for. In the dairy case, we've got refreshing low-fat milk for just $2.99 a gallon. And clean up on paper products with truly fine paper towels. At Safeway, they're just 59 cents a roll. Limit 4. So for savings and quality you can count on every time, it's gotta be Safeway.
It's gotta be Safeway.
Hi, I'm Bruce Williams with some suggestions for gift-giving this holiday season for that special friend or loved one. Visit the Jade Shop off South Cushman. The Jade Shop is a factory outlet with factory prices. See how your special piece of jade is cut, polished, and assembled from the world-famous Perrone Rock. Exquisite pieces for every taste and budget. Clocks, jewelry, bookends, nameplates, even a golf putter just like mine, and much more. Jade, the gemstone of Alaska, is as beautiful as your great state. Visit the Jade Shop.
I want to remind the listening audience that we're here with Paul McCarthy from the University of Alaska Library. And if you have a question of Paul regarding archival materials or the use of the University of Alaska Library, give us a call here. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. We'd like to hear from you. Paul, we were talking a little bit about your trips around Alaska. You got a couple more you'd like to tell, and some adventures that you might have had, other than loading your car in the airplane and bringing it back?
Well, I'm trying to think that a really humorous one is a continuation of this one that we went to Juneau on. Ted and I spent 3 days in the top of Three Guardsmen's Pass. That was when the Alaskans were maintaining that part of it. And then we towed the truck 75 miles to Haines, and then had to put it on board ship and then take it to Juneau to DOT facilities there to have it repaired, because there was not a good internal engine heater, and it, as I said, it took us 5 hours to start it at Beaver Creek, and I think the engine never survived that well.
Mm-hmm.
And that and a few others around the state. We once had to charter an aircraft out of Juneau because I had an appointment I could not miss, and we could take a small aircraft out and just go above the water and go over to Sitka and then catch a regular commercial craft out. So just different things that archivists and librarians are usually involved with up here.
You know, you never think, Paul, that a librarian could have it, so many adventures that you've had. I got stuck on top of 75 mile, at .75 mile on the Haines Junction Pass. You know, that's not fun.
That's not fun at all, and it was one of my early trips, and I didn't have anything to read, and the quality of reading materials left there at the camp was real marginal, so I always carry enough in Alaska to read for a day or two.
I don't know if maybe a lot of people out there recognize the full magnitude of what Paul is talking about when on some of the travels you can get caught a little bit short in terms of quality of not only the reading material that's available, but the transportation vehicles here. You have to be very careful that they are prepared for the journey, both aircraft, boats, and, of course, vehicles. Paul, tell us a little bit about, you made a comment that you had returned some of the archival materials to Juneau. What do you do with the archival materials in general that you have here at the University of Alaska Archives? What is the procedure for carrying it through? For example, the gentleman that just called suggested that he might be willing to donate some archival materials to the University of Alaska. What would you do with that material?
Okay, what we would do, and Jim, I'd like to emphasize that we are really open to anybody who thinks that they have material that might be of interest to us that's significant. What we do is take a look at the material and see how it might document Alaska's history and development. And then if we can negotiate an agreement to have the material given to the university, we do an inventory of it. And then we try to arrange it so that a student or scholar or a layperson can come in and use the material. And it usually makes some kind of subject arrangement or reconstructing how you or I as an individual might have put that collection together. We then divide or put together what we would call a finding aid. It's like a list of the subject folders or just an outline of the design of the collection, so that if you come in there, you don't have to, you've got some tool to find your way in the collection. It's like kind of a map of the collection, so that you can find your way around. It still involves a lot of work for you, but it gets you pretty close to the subject areas or the sequences of the people you want to look at. So we create that finding aid. Then it's put in the archives, and the archives is open 5 days a week from 9 to 5. We make the finding aids available outside of those hours if you need those additional helps. And like I would like to say, emphasize that I'm not in charge of the archives. The archives operate under my general supervision, but I did spend 23 years trying to develop that collection. So what we look at is primarily or initially for the students and faculty of the university, but I would like to emphasize that with that collection and with the Alaska collection, over 50% of our users come from off campus, so that the materials are available to you as citizens of the state of Alaska. And we occasionally have a number of visitors from lower states or foreign countries.
Well, then this is a true international public service, as well as a local public service.
It really is. Right now we have a Swiss couple, Hubert and Beatrice Vanger, who spend 2 or 3 weeks with us at least once or twice a year doing research on early exploration of the Arctic and Inuit people. So they're not by any means the first. We do have a small stream of international visitors, but a very steady stream of Alaskans and people from Canada and the lower states.
I want to come back in just a minute, Paul, and talk a little about how somebody from town can come up to the University of Alaska Library and look at the archives and how they might be helped from a personal standpoint. Right now, I want to talk a little bit about Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank. And one important facet of Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank that everybody must know about is that they're located between 3rd and 4th Avenue, and that adequate parking is on 4th Avenue. Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank has been serving the people and businesses of Fairbanks since 1965. And as they are a mutual bank, Mount McKinley has no stockholders, but is managed by a board of trustees for the benefit of the depositors. Consequently, Mount McKinley has been a community leader in paying high interest rates
to their depositors since 1965. Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank offers a variety of services to their depositors. While some financial institutions are just beginning to offer Saturday banking, Mount McKinley has full-service lobby banking from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturdays. They are conveniently located downtown at 530 4th Avenue, as I said before, with entrances on both 3rd and 4th Avenues. And we know this is important to you. They have plenty of free parking. But what about specific banking services? Mount McKinley has checking accounts, savings and time deposits, money market accounts, real estate loans, construction loans, consumer loans, contract collection services, and individual retirement accounts. One of Mount McKinley's most innovative and beneficial services is their Prime Time account. This account is for people who have passed their 55th birthday and offers numerous free services. For instance, no service charges and no minimum balance on your checking account. Plus, your first 200 checks are free. But there's more. Your Prime Time checking account will earn interest at 5.25% per annum, compounded daily for an effective annual yield of 5.47%. With a Prime Time checking account, fees are waived for traveler's checks, money orders, and money wire transfers. And Prime Time customers also get free notary service. Direct deposits are also available free. That's Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank, located downtown between 3rd and 4th Avenue, with parking on 4th. Give them a call at 452-1751 and tell the good folks down there that you heard Jim Madonna talking about them right here on Alaska Gold Trails.
Do you feel the ancient tie that binds us to the land? Can you hear the future whisper, a promise we all understand?
Tip-Top Chevrolet Buick has been in business for 32 years. It's been owned and operated by three generations of Ginthers. Robbie Ginther is the general manager. However, in the new car sales area, the sales manager is Jim Brown. Jim Brown's philosophy is to listen to the customer. His salespeople don't push the deal of the day. They listen to the customer to determine their vehicle needs. Complete customer satisfaction is their goal. There are seven new car salespeople at Tip Top, and they have from 5 to 35 years experience. In used cars, used car manager Elmer Ostblom has been with Tip Top Chevrolet for 6 years. Two salespeople on staff, Jim Lidster and Scotty Casper, each has been with Tip Top Chevrolet 7 years. Tip Top Chevrolet Used Cars is located right across the street from the new car showroom. The service manager is Randy Meadows. He has 6 years experience at Tip Top Service Department and has been service manager for 2.5 years. Tip Top Service is the heartbeat of Tip Top Chevrolet Buick. In the body shop, the body shop manager is Randy Mayu. He's been with Tip Top Chevrolet for 6 years. If there is one word to describe the Tip Top body shop, it's quality. It is one of the premier body shops in town with 10 well-trained, world-class technicians. Tip Top Body Shop, when you want to look your very best. Don't forget, folks, buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet, located at 1916 Cushman. Or give them a call at 452-8211 and tell the folks you heard me talking about them right here on Alaska Gold Trails. Once again, folks, we're here with Paul McCarthy, and Paul is from the University of Alaska Library, and he's giving us quite a thorough explanation on how to use the archives. If you've got a question of Paul, our phone number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Paul, tell us a little bit more. If I was just from the community interested in coming up to the archives to look up some information for perhaps a paper that I was writing or a story that I was writing, how would I go about that?
Well, Jim, if I could step back just a little bit, you can like to look at the entire library since that is open to the citizens of the state.
You can get a very good idea of what we have in the printed collection, the book collection, by just dialing in. We have our catalog is online, so if people have a modem, they can dial in. They can come up to the university and get a really quick, good overview of what we have in almost any subject area.
Okay, this then, if a person has a computer at home, modem connected to their computer, they dial in, and this information will flash up on their computer screen.
It's a pretty easy routine to use. If you like, type S/ in a subject.
Mm-hmm.
You use standard subjects, but we can teach people how to do that. We've got login procedures for people to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But and then coming up, we also have a bibliography of Alaska, which I think is really valuable, and we would love to have more people use it. That's
mm-hmm.
dial-in also. So if you or somebody else was interested in what is currently being published on mining in any periodical we have, you can dial in, get into the bibliography, and we index material in about a 10-day turnaround. So if something's in the archives or in the Alaskan polar regions today, it'll be indexed and available online within, say, 5 to 10 business days.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, tell me, now, what is the number? Do you know the number?
You have to come in, you have to dial into 474-6910, which is what they call the INX switch,
uh-huh.
and then you need to log on, and it would be easier just to describe that to somebody over the phone, or we could give them mm-hmm. a sheet, and we could show them how to use it on-site,
mm-hmm.
and then they can get into it.
So they would just call the...
They can call the reference people.
Reference people, and then they would explain the procedure?
Right, or they can come up, and we can show them, give them a demonstration, because we're online at the library.
Oh, that's great.
Then once you come in, and much of the Alaska material is not yet online, although we're describing it and then putting it up online this year. We've got about 100 descriptions of the archival collections, and I would like to emphasize that there's a tremendous amount of material in there relating to mining or commercial operations, almost anything you can think of. They might be buried in collections, you know, like if you were looking at mining, you'd certainly want to look at some of the political collections, because
mm-hmm.
the senators and representatives had an interest, and they would develop subject areas and expertise about that. We have some geological scientists who we have their collections, their field notes. We have some fabulous, fabulous photographic collections of gold mining, both in this area and along the Yukon, all over the state. So you can come in. There's a list of collections in the Alaskan Polar Regions Department. The staff there would help you identify the collections that are appropriate. They can show you photographic collections. We have 47,000 photographs on microfiche
mm-hmm.
that are available any place in the state. We have a lot of oral histories that deal with mining operations, with early pioneers, that kind of thing. I think we have about 1,500 oral interviews. And
mm-hmm.
these, again, there's an index there, and very shortly that we're anticipating that all these will be available or searchable online. Not the full text, but at least a citation to it. So
mm-hmm.
if you're interested in an area or a person, within, say, I would say a 1 to 3 year window, we'll have an enormous amount of this online, like we do with the entire book collection mm-hmm. and the periodical index right now.
Okay, so if somebody needed that information, they could either, if they had computer capabilities, they could dial in, or they could simply come up to the university and some of the staff would help them through the necessary avenues to reach their goal. Is that correct?
Right, and we have some, I think, despite the hard times, we have some really, really very exciting things coming online. I think one of those for people interested in business operations, whether they relate to mining or hospitals, is a thing we call ABI Inform. It's a CD-ROM the size of a small record. It has 200,000 citations and abstracts relating to anything relating to business,
mm-hmm. and
whether it's hospital management or mining management. It's searchable. You can search any term or combination of terms, and it identifies 100 citations and abstracts a second.
Mm.
And we have this both for business and education. We intend to broaden this to some science areas and perhaps engineering this year. And ultimately, we're going to create what we call a local area network, where you'll be able to get into any of these from about 6 or 8 stations on campus. And then pretty soon, we hope to link it up with the university's community or computer to link it to off-campus status.
We've got a caller here. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I was listening a little while ago, and I thought I heard him say that he had reference material online, and I would say that I'm familiar with, to some extent, with this gnosis or whatever they call
gnosis,
it.
Gnosis, right.
Is that the same thing?
Right. But there's a second part that you may not be aware of in terms of that index to Alaska-related articles. That's not as widely known as the other part.
I guess what I was wondering, all that I ever knew about was that you could get indexes of materials that were available in the library on Gnosis. Can you actually read the material through there?
No, you can't read the material through that. You can. It's just a citation to the books or to the periodical articles.
Okay.
We're experimenting with the other, but we don't have it, anything that we could demonstrate yet.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Paul, I want to take a break away for just a minute. We'll be right back and talk a little bit more about the facilities available through the University of Alaska Library. Right now, I want to talk a little bit about B&L Pawn Shop at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman. A lot of people say it's the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. And I say that that's an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping will get you everything. Just to give you an idea, let me list a few items. Jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard it from Jim on Alaska Gold Trail, she'll even sweeten it more. If your money is a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pawn. They're located at 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier, and only then because it's attached. However, if you're real nice to Killer, you never know about that chandelier. That's B&L Pawn Shop, corner of Gaffney and Cushman. Their phone number over there, 452-6491. You might want to write this information down, folks. You never know when it might not be worth a silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining. B&L is open from 9 to 7, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Saturday, and 12 to 5 on Sunday. And remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal.
Shopping is always fun, except when it comes to a new car. Engines, brakes, four-wheel drive, I know what they are. I just don't know why they make one car better than another. I learned by comparison. I test drove the others, then I drove a Subaru Legacy. I couldn't believe how much room it had or how well my new Subaru Legacy rides and drives. Get out and take the new Subaru Legacy for a spin at Fairbanks Motors, 3775 South Cushman.
Once again, folks, we're here with Paul McCarthy from the University of Alaska Library, and here he is here explaining to us how we might use the library for our benefit. Paul, we've got a few minutes left here. Tell us a little bit more about the library. One question that I have, and many of my students have had at the University of Alaska Mining Extension, is that do you have a set of the USGS bulletins and works? Are you familiar with that?
Yes, we do. As far as I know, we have a very comprehensive set of the bulletins. We endeavor to collect extra copies of any that relate to Alaska, and we're always scouting for additional ones, additional duplicates, because they're a real high-use item. So they're available both in government documents, and they're most of them or all of them should be indexed in the Alaska collection and available online.
You know, one of the pioneers in Alaska for the USGS was Alfred Hulse Brooks, and of course our Brooks Building is named after him. And he had done a lot of work out on the Seward Peninsula and first identified the fact that there were not only submarine beaches but also beach lines that existed on the upland areas away from the present beach strand. And I was wondering, does your literature on USGS publications go back as far as Brooks or farther than Brooks, back into the 1890s?
It would go back, I think, to the 1890s, and we were fortunate enough to acquire a good deal of the Brooks Library from Alfred Brooks, and lots of it's still autographed with his name, and we've incorporated much of that into the collection. And we also have a fellow named Capps who did a lot of work, and we have his manuscript collection and much of what he published. So we have, I think, the geology would be one of the really strong collections, and we're continuing to work with people like Brad Washburn and Troy Payway to increase the richness of that collection, those collections.
I had one more thought here on, and we've got a couple of minutes. Just quickly, could you comment on the Skinner collection, how it came about?
Sure. The Skinner collection, well, there are really two different strands that weave together in what's called the Skinner collection. When Bunnell first became president, he immediately began developing a library and writing to people. In the early 50s, the university made it it was brought to their attention that there was a very, very good book collection in the custody of a Mr. Erskine in Kodiak. And Mr. Skinner of Alaska Steam funded the purchase of the book collection, which I think at that time was about 3,000 or 3,500 books relating to Alaska. And that was brought from Kodiak to Fairbanks, courtesy of Alaska Steam and Mr. Skinner, but much of it was generated by Mr. Erskine, who also had collected some of the early Alaska Commercial Company records that we also acquired at about the same time. So that forms the basis of what we would call the Alaska and Polar Regions collection now, and it has grown to at least 40 to 50,000 discrete titles, probably 60 to 70,000 volumes of material.
You attempt to keep that updated at all times?
That is kept updated, and we've broadened the focus to include the kind of a pan-Arctic interest. So we collect northern Canada, Greenland, in northern Scandinavia, and we have a very strong collection of Russian literature relating to Soviet geology.
Paul, I want to thank you for joining me here on Alaska Gold Trails today.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. I really enjoyed it.
It's been a pleasure. I wanted to make a little comment regarding Alaska Gold Trails. We have had 97 shows on Alaska Gold Trails to date. These shows have all been taped on cassette tapes. Copy of the tapes have all been prepared and will be donated to the University of Alaska Library. So if any of your friends have been on Alaska Gold Trails and you care to hear them once again or make a copy of that tape, you merely have to call the University of Alaska Library and let them know your desires. This is Jim Madonna, and I will be gone for the next couple of months, back in February to see you. Hope you'll join me at that time. You're listening to KFAR Radio 660 on your radio dial.
The news, I'm Doug Limerick. The situation appears to be worsening in the Philippines. Despite statements from Philippine President Corazon Aquino and Defense Secretary Fidel Ramos that all is well, heavy fighting's now reported to have broken out between renegade soldiers and government troops. It is a coup attempt. ABC's Kathleen Barnes is in Manila. She says it appears the presidential palace may have been bombed.
I can see three T-28 bombers, and they are circling around the area of Malacanang Palace. We have heard gunfire. We have seen objects dropping from the planes, which I assume means that they are dropping bombs on the palace. They are now passing close to our position at Manila Hotel at the ABC News Bureau.
This is Herbert Kaplow in Washington. The White House has issued a strong statement of support for the Aquino government. It condemns the attempt to upset her administration, and the statement goes on to warn that all American assistance to the Philippines would be suspended if, reads the statement, the elected government of the Philippines were removed by a military group. That is a significant amount of money. The statement does not mention American interests in the Philippines, but among other things, instability there often generates concern in Washington about the two American military bases in that country. Herbert Kaplow, ABC News, Washington.
Again, the presidential palace in Manila appears to have been bombed by rebel planes. President Corazon Aquino is not believed to be at the palace. The attempted coup is the sixth since President Aquino took office 4 years ago. More news after this.
Which of the following items would you like to win?
Tickets to a game or tickets to a dance? Tickets to a show or a pair to friends? A coffin for the floor, a knocker for the door? Linens for the bed, a new hat for your head? Shrubbery, a lemon tree, or how about a new TV? Jewelry, a fancy tea, an oriental tapestry? A stereo, a radio, a player for the video? A bird that saves diamond rings, a whole bunch of other things.
Now, through the end of the year, you can win almost anything you buy if you buy it with your Visa card. Because just about every time you use Visa, whatever you buy just may be our treat, which means your purchase could be free. Plus, one person will win the Visa Millionaires card that they can charge up to $1 million on, and Visa will pay all the bills. And the more you use your Visa card, the more chances you have to win.
A bracelet, an amulet, a china set, a brand new pet, some candlesticks, and rented licks.
Offer valid October 1st to December 31st, 1989. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited or restricted. Must be 18 or older. For a complete list of rules or alternate means of entry, call 1-800-621-VISA.
The White House has announced that Panamanian flag ships will not be allowed to enter U.S. ports as of the end of January. Details, ABC's Bill Greenwood.
The president's decision will affect 12,000 ships and will deny the Panamanian government an estimated $20 to $50 million a year in registration fees. More large ships fly the Panamanian flag than any other because Panama's maritime regulations make it less costly for owners. The ships are exempt from many tough safety regulations in other countries, pay less for insurance, and don't have to hire expensive union crews.
A White House spokesman says the actions intended to deny revenue to General Manuel Noriega's government. He says the administration regrets any hardship the action may cause Panama's citizens. Air Force One will be leaving for Malta within the hour. President Bush will be on his way to the saltwater summit with Mr. Gorbachev. Earlier, Mr. Bush said he thinks he and Gorbachev see eye to eye on what the upcoming meeting's all about.
We both want to build a sustained relationship for real achievements over the long term. He's looking for ways to keep those reforms moving forward, and I'm looking for ways to promote democracy and freedom. And the one way is to support his efforts toward reform.
In Rome, President Mikhail Gorbachev says he expects a successful summit in the upcoming weekend. And it should be quite a Christmas celebration at the Wall. Leonard Bernstein will be conducting Christmas performances of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony on both sides of the Berlin Wall in celebration of universal brotherhood. Leonard Bernstein has conducted peace concerts in Hiroshima and other cities in past years. The Christmas concerts will be heard and seen by thousands of Berliners through loudspeakers and on huge TV screens set up on both sides of the wall. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones up 17 at 2706. This is ABC News.
Clogged sewer, sink, pipe, or drain? Call the nation's oldest, largest, and most experienced sewer and drain cleaning service. Call Roto-Rooter. You get fast emergency service from a nationwide network of local professionals who get there fast and get the job done right. Anytime, any drain. So why take...